It is always a joy for me to open God's Word and to look and just extract gems and beautiful things that He has given to us. And my title for today, we're in graduation, it's almost 12, so I'm going to try to get through this. Should be brief. It is always encouraged to be brief. And so, restoring the right arm is our title for today, as you may notice in your bulletin, restoring the right arm. You know, for several months now, I am living back in Georgia-Tennessee border right there, Wildwood, and we've been going out or close to the beginning of the year, near the summer. And we've recognized a group of homeless people. So I'm a part of the evangelism team, and so we do a lot of work in the community. But we've identified just this zone of tents in a particular area. And we've been going there and reaching out. Pretty much Luna mentioned some of the homeless ministry, similar type of work that we've been doing. And it's interesting because every time we go weekly, and weekly as we go there, we're just talking with them, we're supplying some of the basic needs and clothing and sometimes food, most times not, because there's a soup kitchen near there where the government is actually giving some help. And so they do most of the food, so we take care of other things. And weekly we're there, and just last weekend, I was out there last weekend, Sabbath afternoon, and something touched my heart. And as I was preparing this message, it just dawned on me the reality of what God has called us to do. More and more, it came even stronger in my heart. So last weekend we were there. And we are walking through the tents, we're talking with people. In fact, we took several of those tents for them, and because of the rain, we would take pallets for them, so they would build up their tent on a couple of pallets, so when it rains, they're safe. So anyway, we're going through checking if they're good for the winter, you know, if they were needing more things, etc. And as we're there, it's funny because most times in these little zones and homeless zones, it seems as if there's always a mayor within them. Right? And so this particular lady was the mayor for the entire setup. And we're walking down and she stopped us. She stopped us and she said, "Hey, come here." Because we never, during this time, we're just serving. We don't talk about religion. As we're getting to know them, we're opening the way. We're opening the way. So this day, she said to us, "What church do you guys attend?" And so we started talking with her. "Yeah, we're Seventh-day Adventists, and this is a church." "Oh, so Saturday. So you were at church this morning?" She said, yeah, we were at church this morning. "And now we're out here to see you." And she started saying to us, "Now there's something I have to tell you guys. There's several groups that comes here. They drop off a little thing or two, and they're gone. But we've noticed that you've been coming week after week. Not only that, because some of the weeks we would go just to clean up. We weren't just leaving a bag and we're gone. We go and we're dirty. I mean, we got dirty. We got our rakes and whatever it needs, and we're cleaning, we're chopping, we're taking care of them. Total care." Anyway, so she said, "No other group has come week up after week after week and get dirty with us and sit down and just talk to us. Because we would sit and just have a chat." And she said, "There's something different. And there's something that I don't understand. And I don't know much about, you know, your church and all of that. Will you tell us more about it?" I got excited because this is what we want. And they were making a fire, and so we said, "Well, let's sing a few songs for you all." And we sang, we had a little devotional, and they're like just asking us, "So we can't wait for you to be there, to come back next weekend. So I'll miss it today, but the group will be there, the rest of the team." Friends, as I talk with these people, as I walk through these communities, and this is just one of the many experiences dealing with people, not just in this country, but around the world, and that is, God has placed us as His people in this world to make a difference. God has placed us in this world to be the light in a dark world. And as I reflect on what we've been dealing with for the past almost 2 years now, a pandemic, difficult moments, a world in turmoil, borders are closing more often than ever. We have so many students. I'll tell you a little bit about this. We've been talking about some students and various applications at Wildwood, and the more students are going to immigration, borders are closing, some of them are not able to come. And I thank God that there are 8 students that stayed and have been here during this course, during these 5 months. But there's something else that's going on in our world that I'd like you to think about. The more borders are closing, it is even more difficult for students to come into this country and many other places to study. And so as we contemplate these realities, there's something that's been cooking up in my mind. The more students leave our institutes, they will need to be so equipped and so ready that going back either to their home states or countries, they will need to start up these kind of work. Very soon, many students won't be able to come to this place, or many of the other places here in America. And how important it is that each student leave our ministries, leave our programs dedicated to the work of God, that they can go back home and build up a work wherever they are and they will be. And so, friends, we're living in a very serious time where the final movements, we're told, will be rapid ones. And since last year, if you reflect with me how easy and how fast things closed down, and borders were closing down. And I have some friends that I work with in Latin America, and all through Central America, these borders you cross over from, so easily. I would cross over all Central America in a couple of days from one country to the other. And my friends told me when things started shutting down, they couldn't even cross over the borders that were there in Central America. And I have a friend, he's from El Salvador. We don't have a ministry as yet in El Salvador, so I've been talking with him, and praise the Lord, he spoke with me a few days ago, and the land, a few buildings are already in place, and in the next year they're starting up a ministry in El Salvador. And with all that's taking place in our world, I dare say to us today, students, listen carefully, there is not enough time for us to continue with business as usual, but it ought to be business on usual. Where our work should be so focused on reaching everyone in this world. People are dying. People are dying without the knowledge of Christ. People are wondering what's next in this world. What should be our approach is my question. What is our game plan? What's our strategies in reaching the world? Isaiah chapter 60, go with me there quickly as we are talking about this light, this world, this darkness that exists in our world. Look at what the Bible says. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. It says, write it down if you're not there quickly enough. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Who is the light now? Jesus himself. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory, you're going to see that word later, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall do what? Cover the earth, and what else? And gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory, here's the word again, shall be seen upon you. friends. This is the most amazing verses, a couple of verses that helps us to see that Christ is calling us to arise. He's calling us to arise. Why arise? Because perhaps we've been sleeping. Perhaps we have not seen the emergency in this world. And he's therefore saying, arise. We've been down for so long, he's saying, arise. Not only arise, but here goes the next word, shine. It's one thing to arise, it's another thing to shine. It's one thing to be filled with the message, it's one thing to know a message, it's another thing to present and give that message with all our hearts. It's one thing to know about the message. It's one thing to know what's going on in the world. But what are we going to do about what's going on in the world? And this is where the shining takes place. Now, look at the next verse. Darkness shall cover the earth. I almost wanted to change a word, but I can't do that. It's the Bible. It says darkness shall cover the earth. But I can phrase it. I can say something about it. I believe darkness has covered the earth. I believe our world is so dark today that many people are wondering. In fact, the more I talk to people, I go in the streets, I'm talking with people, they are wondering what's next and they're looking for hope. They're looking for, what's the word? Something better. Something better. They know that the state of the state of things currently cannot remain the same. And they know that there must be something better. And God actually has the solution. And that's why I praise God for these verses. It says, for darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. There is a but. And I like it. It says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. Students, but the Lord shall arise upon you. He won't just arise upon you, but it says, his glory shall be seen upon you. That's what God wants today, that his glory be seen in us. Now, what's his glory? His character. So God is saying, there's darkness in the world, and I'm asking you, my people, to arise, to shine. And here it goes, he says, that, and the Lord shall arise upon you, and his character will be seen in you and I. And so what God is waiting on, there's this beautiful quote I like. It says, Jesus is waiting to return and take us back to heaven with him very soon. He's waiting. He's pretty much waiting to come back and take us home, but until his character is perfectly revealed in us, then we won't see that. So what God is waiting for? His character to be revealed in you and I. His character to be revealed in you and I. I remember this beautiful quote some time ago I read. It says, man can make his circumstances, but circumstances should never make the man. Follow me now. Man should see circumstances as his instruments with which to work. He should master circumstances, but should never allow circumstances to do what now? To master him. As you go out, as you get ready to finish your program, I say to you, there are going to be several circumstances out there. There are going to be some difficult moments out there as well. But if you remember that, listen, the circumstances should never master you, but as you approach the circumstance with prayer and focusing on God, he will help you to master these difficult times. As a people, God has called us together for such a time as this. And even in pandemic and post-pandemic, and somehow the news is saying next year something different is cooking up. So much going on in our world. But we are not to allow or to think, because pandemic or some other things that cooking up, that the work will stop, because God's work will go to the end. And nothing will and can stop God's work. Now it's going to depend on how we deal with it. How we deal with these circumstances. Now, friends, In Luke chapter 6, go with me quickly, in the book of Luke. St. Luke chapter 6, we're talking about restoring the right arm. Let's talk about it now. St. Luke chapter 6, and we are at verse 6, restoring the right arm. Somehow, perhaps someone is wondering, what's this right arm and what's this restoration? Look at verse 6. And it came to pass as also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand or right arm was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good, or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Verse 10. And looking around about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, that right hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. His hand was restored. Now some of them didn't like what Jesus did here because they thought it was Sabbath. But this is it, friends, and all of you are here today. It is a beautiful thing to help others on the Sabbath, and every day, by the way. Every day. And so Jesus was helping here, and this man has the withered hand for years. He was struggling. He couldn't use it. And here Christ restored that hand, and the man went on rejoicing. Friends, as a people, there is something that is called the right arm around us. There is something that we know that is called the right arm. And for those of you who are visiting with us, as a people, as a church, God has given us a beautiful, beautiful message. So how does it work? God has given us the gospel message, and that is to preach to all the world. I'm sure most of you have heard about that. Jesus came, he was preaching, and Jesus was healing the people as well. So in the gospel message, in the book of Revelation, we read about three angels, Revelation 14. They're preaching, or these angels are sending messages. Now that's a representation of you and I. We should be proclaiming the messages of God to serve Him and give glory to Him and to fear God, to obey Him, to honor Him with all that we do. Now that is called the gospel message, and that is called the body. That's the body, the message that God has given. That's the main point, the most important part of our message is to lift up Christ Jesus. There is something else that is added to this message, and it's called the principles of health. And so the body, which is the gospel message, has this thing that is called the right arm or the message of health. And we're told, it states, that the work of health is the right hand of the gospel. It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God, as through it, men and women are led to see the importance of living a healthy lifestyle and how this impacts their spiritual being. So the right arm, for many years, have been pretty much a little bit withered, if you please. And it's almost as if we have not been using correctly the principles of health that was given from the book of, pretty much it started in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. Everything about the garden was filled with health. So from the beginning, God has given us a great, beautiful environment. Adam and Eve had that environment. It was a beautiful message of health, longevity, and peace that they could find. So linked up with the gospel message, Jesus came, and while he was preaching, in fact, as you go through the Bible, you will see that Jesus did more healing than preaching. So read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will study that, and you will say, wow, why Jesus did so much healing, and actually preach few sermons. These things are not for me. I'd rather something more solid. Anyway, so Jesus was healing more than he was preaching. we're told that healing opens the way for him to present the kingdom of heaven to the people. Do you see? And so now I understood even more as our group is ministering to the people over there in Chattanooga, that they are amazed that we're reaching out to their needs and we weren't so excited about preaching a message. In fact, my friends, I have seen it all the time, that the more we reach out to the needs of people or felt needs of people, we don't need to do too much preaching. And there's silence in the house. You don't believe that? The more we attend to the physical needs of people, preaching becomes so much easier, and we are not in need to be focusing on too much preaching, but actually people will be asking more and more of you, and therefore, sometimes, I can tell you this, I remember in several countries I've been working, and I just walk through, we're walking through the community, we're reaching out to people, they have diabetes, they have heart disease, they have other lifestyle issues, and as we're talking to them, we're recommending simple lifestyle changes, they start to make changes, they call us, hey, it's working! I'm feeling so much better! And as they, with their excitement, they say, why you guys do this? Watch this. And as we explain to them, this is what Jesus did while he was on earth. This is how Jesus reached out to people. And as they are touched with that, they said, they would say to us, we want to do this as well. They knew that we go to church. And so right away they ask us, can we go to church with you as well? And so the gospel message becomes so easy when the right arm is restored. When the message of health, it goes forward to help people, to reach out to the needs, to help them. This is a beautiful quote that I like. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ will heal our infirmities and our weaknesses. He owns us. We are His. You are the our children of God. We are His by creation and by what's the next word? Redemption. Jesus came to redeem all of us. We must all be united in Him. He is the only source of healing. Praise God. As you go, students, you have no healing power. Forget about it. Forget about it, Charles. Forget about the poultice. No, use the poultice. We are going to use these principles that God has given us, but we have no healing power. There's nothing in us or about us that can heal anyone. So watch this. Healing, the only source of healing is God Himself through Jesus Christ. All restoring power comes from God. Watch this. We should ever remember that the object of health work or helping people with their health is the only point that the sin sick men and women can understand as they come to know Jesus as their Savior. There is nothing else that should deter us or keep us or pull our attention to some other thing. We ought to always remember that the source of healing, the object of missionary work, is to point sin-sick soul to the man Christ Jesus. It's not about us. Poor us. Who are we, by the way? We are all in need of Jesus. And so Acts chapter 3. Let's take 10 more minutes. I'm just 15 minutes into it, so at least 25 is not bad. All right, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Watch this now. Students, I just want you to know today, as you go out there, that the message, medical missionary work, the work that you've been trained to do, it is really not a difficult work. It is not a complicated work. Just reach out to your community in the simplest ways to the needs of the people and you will see how God blessed the work through simple methods. Acts chapter 3. You know the book of Acts, beautiful book The apostles, Jesus came, He served, He died, He left the disciples to do a special work while they were still on the earth. Acts chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried." What else it says? "Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms," or to beg, to ask for something, to ask for help of them that entered the temple. Verse 3. "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." He asked them. "And Peter fastening his eyes," watch this, "Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us." Whoa. Watch this now. "Look on us. And he gave heed unto them." Whoa. "Look on us." And he like, okay. "He gave heed unto them." And what has happened? "Expecting to receive something of them." So in the man's mind, Peter said, "Look on us." He's like, oh yeah, Peter has something for me today. He is going to give me something. And so he looked at them expecting to receive something of them. "Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I give I thee, in the name of" who? "Of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." What's the word? "Rise up and walk." Praise God. In the name of who? Jesus of Nazareth. Not in our name. Not in the name of the church, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Jesus, the same Jesus who healed the man with the withered hand, in this name, rise up and walk. Now the story continues. I like it. Verse 8, it says here, and rise up and walk. Verse 7, sorry. "And he took him by the," what's the hand? The right hand. We're talking about restoring the right hand. Alright? "He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple," walking and what else? Come on, read with me. "And leaping," and what else? "And praising God." Verse 9. "And all the people saw him walking," and what else? "Praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him." Now watch this. We're reading the word. Do you love the word? It is so beautiful. Verse 11 now says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Verse 12. "And when Peter saw it," watch this, "the people ran to Peter." They're like, whoa! Verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness," don't miss this now, "we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Anyway, Peter goes into it and helping them, but verse 15 is my main point here. "And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we," what's the next one? "Are is witnesses." That's what we are, friends. That's what you are. You are his witnesses. You notice Peter's declaration? In verses 11 and 12. That's where I didn't want you to miss it. And verse 13. As he said, "You are you looking at us as if we did something?" Please never forget this. As you're out there working with people and you see someone restored, never get so excited about what you have done. Never get so excited because I was the one that went and I did the poultice and wow. Forget it. Never think when God does something that you have done it, because we are not able. We are to give God the glory. And Peter declared it right away. Don't look at us as if we have done something. This is God that reached down and lift up this man. So in your work, as you work with people, remember, it is not you, but it is Jesus Christ. Surrender your will to Him. As you walk with Him daily, as we're told, you love the book Ministry of Healing. You have gone through the entire book. Every day, waking up, what our prayer should be. Lord, take me and make me wholly Thine. Not my will, but use me for Your service. Now watch this now. The Lord Jesus Christ will heal our infirmities and our weaknesses. Do you need healing today, anyone? And we're not just talking about physical. I know, yes, we need that too. But Jesus wants to heal the physical, the mental, and the spiritual being. He wants to give you complete healing today. All of us. And here it says, it is the divine plan that we shall work as the disciples worked. Watch this. Physical healing is bound up with the gospel commission. What's the gospel commission? We know it. Matthew chapter 28. We're not going there, but Jesus made it very clear that they ought to go into all the world. And here we are counseled that physical healing should be bound up in the gospel commission. And this is where the gospel message of three angels' message in the book of Revelation should be always connected with the message of health and healing to the people. We are told that these two should never be separated. And we are also told that this message opens the door. The right arm, or the message of health and healing, opens the door so that the body can go in. The body is the gospel. It's the introduction so that God can go in and bless the lives of people. Finally, yesterday I had my last class with you all, and I had all your, you all should have been there. Actually, I had all the handouts for all the students, and it was on my little podium. And Edsel's eyes got wide open. He didn't realize that I was going to hand out, you know, give the handout to each of them. And he looked at my pile and he said, whoa, this guy has a lot of material to share today. How are we going to deal with this? Well, then I reminded him, no, it's for you. And I handed that out. So I kept that principle, Edsel. It's a short one. Yeah. So let's close it with some principles. I can see the Lord's providences that the health work is to be the great entering wedge whereby the diseased soul may be reached. I was in Costa Rica some time ago. We were doing the health expo. In the community, we set up all the 8 laws of health. We're reaching out to people. We're doing massages. We're talking about nutrition and how they can enjoy better diet, etc. Water, the importance of water. We're talking to the people. Beautiful health expo. We saw this guy walked in. He sat down since the time he arrived. And I kind of fixed my eyes on him, noticing him a little bit. He wouldn't move. And several people are walking around each booth, from one booth to the other. 8 stations were there. But the guy was still sitting down. He wouldn't move to go to any of the booths. So I went over to talk with him. Hey, friend, how you doing? What's your name? You know, introduce myself. We're there talking. And the guy said, I came here today. I want to go through these booths and learn how to take care of my health. But I'm having a severe back pain and I'm not able to walk around to each of the booths. And I said to him, don't worry, we're going to take each of the booths to you. And so as he sat, we organized ourselves where each one went by him, and we had a rotation where we were able to cover everything with him. But the man said to us, are you guys able to do anything for me? I have pain in my back. And I would really, you know, need some help, would love to get some help. And at the moment, while we're there talking, it's like, it just came into my mind, it's like Peter talking with the man there, and he was able to say, rise up. I wish, I said, Lord, I just would love to just ask him to rise up and straighten up his back. And I said, Lord, am I lacking faith here? But you know, while I'm there talking with him, and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and I'm thinking, what else can I do? And the Lord just gave me right there. The Lord said, ask him if he lives nearby. You know some things you can do. And I asked him, I said, I live just over there. He pointed to his house. The guy was right in front of the event. I'm like, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, there's something we can do. So I got a friend, and both of us went to his house. And I said, okay, do you have water? Do you have a little basin? Do you have a few towels? He said, yeah, we have all of that. I have all of that. And he ran quickly, you know, he pointed. Actually, he couldn't go around to get things. He pointed to us, go over there, you find a basin, the towels, etc. He got everything for us. And friends, I tell you this. We prayed with him. Lord, there's nothing in us. But you have given us some simple remedies that you have asked us to use. And we pray now that you will please, please touch this man. Touch him. Touch his bones, his spinal cord. And we prayed and we did what we call. As we examined and we talked with him a little bit, what was the situation. He told us he did some surgeries some years ago. We examined the back and we realized pretty much it was just some connective tissues. They're so tight and he's having problems. And so we started fomentations, contrast. And so we're placing warm and cold, warm and cold. And what that does, it brings more blood to the area and flushing out all the impurities and the difficulties having, freeing up the muscles, the tension that's there, the muscles being loosed. And the guy fell asleep. That's beautiful. Yeah, when you're a therapist, especially David, massage, Chelsea, you know this, and you're doing a massage, and they're gone. You're like, yeah, you've done your job. Oh, yeah, they're resting. It's beautiful. And so he fell asleep, and we're like, whoa, we finished up the therapy and all of that. But what followed the therapy was the massage. So he's already resting, and we're giving the massage. We're, you know, taking care of the guy. We got a little oil, and, you know, and then we're like, well, let's go check on the team. We went back to the team, came back, and the guy was still asleep. I said, no, man, I hope we didn't do anything. The guy's knocked out. I said, no. He's breathing well. Anyway, we checked on the rest of the team. They're doing well. And we said, let's go back, just rest. Wait on him to see if he'll wake up. He woke up about 30, 40 minutes later. And he got up. He said, wow, you guys are still here. I said, yeah, we wanted to make sure you're fine. And you got up. He got up and he said, yeah, thank you so much. And he started to, you know, get on his shirt and all of that. And friends, the guy got on his shirt, he got dressed. He was walking with a stick earlier when he came to the Health Expo. And he forgot where he left his stick. We saw him walking out of the house. And we say, hey, sir, I don't remember his name right now. I said, sir, no, take some rest. You need to rest. And he said, no, I want to go through the booth. I want to continue to go to the expo. And I said, no, but we'd love you to rest. And he said to us, you guys don't understand. The little thing that you did for me there, I don't even know what you did. But my back is feeling so much better. I'm feeling so well, and I think I can go to finish the health expo. Friends, I tell you this. Just as how Peter worked with these men and the people saw what happened, so the man said, I wanted to go back to the expo, and the guy was upright and walking. And all the people, they're wondering, so, whoa, what happened to you? Jose, his name was Jose. Yeah, Jose, what happened to you? And he said, no, these guys did a little massage or something. I'm feeling so much better. And the people started asking, what do we do? What can we do for them? And friends, the rest of the story is that we were able to stay in that community. And we were doing health presentations and doing seminars with the people for almost 3 weeks. And we saw the power of God. Friends, God wants to demonstrate this power in all of your lives. He wants to demonstrate it with all of us. It's nothing in us. It is nothing that we can do. But when we honor Him with the things He has given us to do, then we will see His power in the lives of people. And so I finish today reminding you that in 1863, a great movement got started. And at the beginning of this movement, the message of health was always to be tied with the message of the gospel. 1865, when God spoke to the Advent movement saying, I want you to have your own health institution. That was a direct appeal from heaven. There are many institutions in the world, 1865, but I want you to have, as my people, your institute of health where you can help the poor and needy and help those that are suffering with their health. 1866, this first new institute got started 1 year later after God commissioned it, Western Health Reform Institute, that was the name. 1 year later, 1867, and we know this one, Battle Creek Sanitarium got started. And this great sanitarium, presidents and princes and kings from Europe came here to the United States to check out this health retreat. They were treating over 100 people in that first year. And by 1906, people came from all over the world. They were seeing over 7,000 patients yearly. And as they go to this health retreat, they were able to learn the principles of health. And God has called us for such a time as this, to restore the right arm, to restore the principles of health that God has given. And I challenge you today, not just the graduates or graduates, I challenge all of us today, let us get back to the roots of what God has given. Let us remember the way that Jesus worked. As He reached out to the needs of people, people were dying, people were in need. Jesus reached out, touched the people, helped them with their physical health, and then He was able to tell them, Jesus saves. Daniel chapter 12, and then we'll go to Revelation, and that's it. You'll see these couple of verses, two prophetic books. Students, remember, we studied those books? Yeah? And so Daniel chapter 12, what's the book? Daniel chapter 12, and look at verse 3 with me. So beautiful. This is your call today. I'm at your call now. I'm giving you the call now, beloved friends. This is your call. Verse 3 says, and they that be wise shall shine. Watch that word. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that shall be wise shall do what? Shine. May the wisdom of God be in your hearts. And that you shine, as Isaiah says, arise, shine. How do you shine? Just represent God's character. The greatest, greatest influence in favor of the gospel is a loving, lovable Christian. Loving, lovable Christian. The greatest argument. Not the many sermons. Not the many therapies that you can do. It's that loving, lovable Christian. And Revelation. Revelation 18:1. That's our scripture reading. We use it to finish. It says, verse 1, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. What kind of power? Great power. Oh, I want to see this more. And the earth was lightened with His glory. The earth was lightened with missionaries. that are glorifying God through their characters and helping people. The earth was lightened with a beautiful message to help people that's in need. And so there's a book that is called Medical Evangelism, Counsels on Medical Evangelism. It says here, God has qualified His people. Who has qualified His people? God. Page 30, Counsels on Medical Evangelism. God has qualified His people to lighten the entire world. He has instructed them with the faculties by which they are to extend the work until it shall encircle the globe. In all parts of the earth, they are to establish lifestyle centers, schools, publishing houses, and Kindred's type of facility, restaurants, health food stores. The closing message of the gospel is to be carried to every nation. Be carried to where? Every nation, Kindred, tongue, and people, Revelation 14. In foreign countries, many enterprises for the advancement of this message must begin. The opening of hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, establishment of lifestyle centers, sanitarium is the old word, for the care of the sick and the suffering is just as necessary in America, in Europe, and in all parts of the world. We shall see the message of health broadening and deepening at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams until the whole earth is covered with the message of health and the gospel message. Friends, yours it is, an amazing opportunity to be a part of the broadening of this work. May God restore the right arm first in your heart and in my heart, and may you really shine for God. Lift up Jesus.